Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. And what we're going to speak upon today is verse 8, where it says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." With our Bibles open before us, let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we come to Thee in our Saviour's name afresh. And our God, as we come to Thy Word, we realize that there are many subtle influences that the devil injects into the stream of evangelicalism. But our God, we pray that we might ever safeguard us from any other gospel. We pray, Lord, that there might be a standing firm for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that Thou must even instruct us and put Thy hand upon us and even help us, our God, as we come to Thy Word today. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. The latest star among the Christian world is Joel Osteen, the pastor of the non-denominational Lakewood Church in Houston, in Texas. Now, Joel Osteen is coming to the Odyssey Arena in Belfast on Tuesday, the 3rd of July, that is. The 3rd of July. And you can see him if you buy a ticket for £11.50. Now, the advert for the Odyssey event says this: "An evening with Joel Osteen is a chance for you to be encouraged by one of America's leading pastors. You will be able to celebrate God's goodness through worship and praise music. You'll learn more about Joel's ministry and family, and Joel will have an inspirational message from God's Word. At the end of the event, Joel will proclaim a special blessing on everyone in attendance. You don't have to be a Christian or a member of any particular church. The only requirement is a ticket, cost £11.50. Now, Joel Osteen is the minister of what is claimed to be America's largest church with 30,000 members. Lakewood Church recently purchased the Colossal Compact Center, formerly the home of the NBA's Houston Rockets. And after a whopping $95 million of renovations, now they have come into that church. And we find that Joel Osteen has become so popular with all the members coming into his church. He is a rising star in the evangelical world. I have heard that tickets for his events are only second to the rock group U2, and they're selling as hotcakes. He is a millionaire. He has sold 55. The revenue from his books have made him into a millionaire, particularly his self-help guide, Your Best Life Now, 7 Steps to Living at Your Full Potential. And that was number one in the New York Times bestsellers list for many weeks in a row. Osteen proudly wears the title The Smiling Preacher. And his message has been described, and I quote, as a simple self-help message that congregants say is both uplifting and accessible. His theology has been described as cotton candy theology. It tastes good, but has no substance. Now, the Apostle Paul here gave a straightforward warning in Galatians 1 and verse 8. He said, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." And it is the danger of another gospel that I want to warn you about today. Because there are hundreds of people, thousands of people, I'm sure, who will go along to the Odyssey on Tuesday. And I'm not saying that Joel Osteen isn't saved himself. That is something that's between him and God. But what I do say is that the message he preaches is dangerous. And that's why I want to deal with the subject today. It's not that I want to hammer Joel Osteen, or that I want to focus upon Joel Osteen. I'd far rather today to be dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd be far rather dealing with the message of salvation and the wonderful things that we have in the Word of God. But I believe that the reason why so many of these false things are entering into the evangelical world today is because we don't deal with these things. We don't hammer what is taking place. We don't warn people about the subtleties that I believe that the devil is injecting into the Church of Christ today. And God's people need to be warned. And so many of the things that Joel Osteen and the so-called stars of the evangelical world are preaching today are finding their way gradually into what we would call the mainstream churches. And that's why you're having a change in so many churches. You have it in so many Elam churches and Baptist churches today who are succumbing to this kind of philosophy and this kind of preaching. And because it is successful, and the like of Joel Osteen are seeing thousands drawn into their churches, there are others today, and they're taking these things on board. So we need to be warned today, and I want to warn you, because we need to be as shepherds of the flock, warning against any wolves that would enter in sheep's clothing. So what I want to do today is quite simply look at this man, Joel Osteen, and the message that he preaches. And we want to bring the warning of God's word against any other gospel. And the first thing I want us to think about today as we think about Joel Osteen is his background. Because I feel that I need to give you a little word about him and describe who he is. Because I'm sure there are many of you here, maybe even most of you, who don't know who he is. Maybe you've never heard of him before. Well, as I say, he was born in Houston, Texas in 1963. He is the eldest son of John Osteen, who was a former Southern Baptist pastor. He became a charismatic in the late 1950s, and he founded the Lakewood Church. Now, after graduating from high school, Joel, his son, went to Oral Roberts University, and there he studied television and marketing, production and marketing. But he dropped out of that course. He never completed it. And he became the director of television production at Lakewood Church from 1982 to 1999. Now, he now lives in Houston, Texas, of course, with his wife Victoria and two children, Jonathan and Alexandra. Critics have decried his lavish lifestyle. As we said, he's a millionaire. He lives in a house valued at $2 million. But supporters would say that he didn't take his income from the church because of the book sales, and he has given that. He's dedicated his salary to other ministries, and they would point his supporters to the fact that his church gives a great amount of money to charity. But with his boy's charm and his good looks, he has had a great amount of success. He became the pastor of his father's church in 1999 when his father died because of blood pressure complications. His father had been involved in the Word of Faith cult, a charismatic cult. I will say more about that later on. But he had been very successful in his own right. He had built that Lakewood Church up to 7,500 members. He had published 45 books in his own right. But then when he became sick and he went into hospital, he brought his son to his bedside, and his son was there, of course. And he told his son to go and preach for him in church that Sunday. Now, Joel felt that he couldn't do that at first, and he refused to do it. But then he felt that because of his father and everything, after a while he relented and he went. And he said this. He says, "I just got up there and told stories. I was so glad when it was over. I said I'll never do this again in my life." But that was only the start, and he did do it, of course. And he went on. And he has continued. That is his style of ministry. Telling stories. Somebody has described his preaching as high-rise preaching because it is one story after another. And he has this style in which his preaching is all positive. He doesn't speak about sin to that extent and point out the negatives of sin anyway. He doesn't point out hell. He dwells on all the positives. And as a result, his congregation has doubled in size and more than doubled. And now they're moving into this compact center, an 18,000 seat arena. And he has the Lakewood International Center now. And they funded it with a campaign, fundraising campaign that brought in $70 million. Each of his supporters bought a seat in that place at $2,500 each. But Joel Osteen, you know the way that he became a pastor there, it was just as Father asked him. He has no theological training or no biblical training whatsoever. That you'll find is one of the trademarks of the charismatic churches. Very often they will despise training. They will despise learning in the things of God. And they attempt to build a congregation on the strength of their calling. And they believe that they're called to do what they do. Now, I would tell you today that there have been those of God's servants down through the ages that have been used of God and they had no formal training. There have been great evangelists and men that stood up and saw many precious souls saved that didn't really have a formal theological training. You think of men like D.L. Moody and people like that. But while God took those men and used them as great evangelists, you cannot sustain a week-by-week ministry unless you have a training in the Word of God. Now, you don't have to go, perhaps, all the time to a theological seminary to get that. But you do need to have a knowledge of the Word of God to feed the people week by week. Now, that is Joel Osteen's great weakness. He doesn't have that background. And he goes and he tells stories. And the weakness in his theological training often comes out. For example, there is a famous example of where Joel Osteen went on to the Larry King show in America. Now, Larry King show is a big show in America. The great and the good are brought there, so-called great and the good. And anybody that wants to be anything is brought onto the Larry King show. But there was an occasion when Joel Osteen went onto the Larry King show. And he was asked whether the Lord Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven. Whether Jews could get there. Like Larry King's a Jew. Whether atheists could get there. And of course, Joel Osteen, always wanting to be positive and never say anything negative, said, "I don't know." He says, "I don't know." And then when he was taken up for it and he issued an apology. This is the apology that I want to quote here. He says, "I regret and sincerely apologize that I was unclear in the very thing in which I have dedicated my life. Jesus declared in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I believe that Jesus Christ alone is the only way to salvation. However, it wasn't until I had the opportunity to review the transcript of the interview that I realized I had not clearly stated that having a personal relationship with Jesus is the only way to heaven. It's about the individual's choice to follow him." So he retracted the fact that he said he didn't know and gave the impression in that interview that there were other ways. And certainly we can take that. There was an apology there. But you notice he says, "I was unclear in the very thing in which I dedicated my life." He was unclear by his own admission that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Now, men and women, I want you to realize that even a Sunday school child should be clear about that. A Sunday school child should know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And men and women, that is the gospel that we preach. That is the gospel, that is the very heart and center of the evangelical message. There is no way of salvation in yourself. There's no way of salvation in your church. There's certainly no way of salvation in any other religion or any other philosophy. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And unless we preach that, men and women, we have another gospel. And this man has so gone so far in wanting to be positive and not say anything negative and not offend other people that he has gone as far as to deny the very centrality and the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have many today, and they're going along the lines of this positive message. Oh, don't say anything about hell. Don't say to people that they are going to a Christless eternity. You've got always to be positive. You've always got to preach the message of love and nothing else. Well, men, women, that's another gospel. We've got to say what it is. It's another gospel. It might be part of the gospel. It may be a fragment of the gospel. But without the whole of the gospel, it is another gospel. We are to preach the whole counsel of God. It's not up to us to pick and choose what parts we preach. It's not up to us what part of the gospel we proclaim and what part of the gospel we leave aside. We have to preach the whole counsel of God. And men, women, that's what we do today. We say to those of you that are not saved today, it is Christ and Christ alone is the way of salvation. So we see something of the background here of Joel Osteen. But then I want you to think about his beliefs. Now, we've already said to you that his beliefs are very cotton-wooly. There aren't great distinguishing marks to his doctrine, and that is true. But there are certain distinguishing things that we can pick out. And the first thing is that his message is a message of putting man at the center. That's one of the great characteristics that we find in this day and generation. This is what he said in Charisma magazine in 2004. Give me something to be able to take away. I find today people are not looking for theology. There's a place for it. But in everyday life, you need to know how to live. Now that is the emphasis of his preaching. How to live. And here are some of the sermon titles. And this gives us a clue to the focus of Osteen's ministry. Holding on to your dreams. Financial prosperity. How valuable you are in God's eyes. Overcoming the greatest hindrance to healing. Developing miracle working faith. Faith to change your world. Believe God for the greater works. Do all you can do to make your dreams come true. Living a life of excellence. You'll find with these charismatic preachers, people like this, people like Joyce Meyer and others, that is the focus. What God can do for you. God becomes a sort of a servant who serves you, who makes your life better. And God does make your life better. We don't deny that. God wants his people to be happy. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. There's no satisfaction like serving the Savior. But God is not our servant. We are the servants of God. The focus is not on us. The focus is on the Lord. That's the difference between true religion and false religion. When man becomes the center, when man is the focus, that is when you find that the focus has become skewed. And we find that this is the man-centered focus of this man's ministry. Also, not only is it a putting of man at the center, but it is a positive message, as we said. The St. Petersburg Times in Russia ran an article last November, and this is what he said about Osteen. It said, Osteen's easygoing, all-inclusive gospel has made him a spiritual rock star. He's unrelentingly positive, more Norman Vincent Peale than Pat Robertson. His deliberately non-judgmental sermons have made him into a best-selling author who is even popular among agnostics and atheists. Osteen's positive messages Recent sermon titles include Having Confidence in Yourself and Stop Listening to Accusing Voices have helped make him a religious everyman. He touts a loving God. There is no condemnation, no talk of judgment or damnation. So you're not getting him talking about sin or hell. And when he was asked about whether he preached about hell on the Larry King show, this is what he said. That's not me. It's never been me. I've always been an encourager at heart. And when I took over from my father, he came from the Southern Baptist background. And back 40 or 50 years ago, there was a lot more of that. But you know, I don't believe in that. I don't believe. Maybe it was for a time, but I don't have it in my heart to condemn people. I'm here to encourage them. I see myself more as a coach, as a motivator, to help them experience the life God has for them. So you find that he denies, he says, that's not me. He says, I don't believe in that. I don't know whether he means I don't believe in hell or I don't believe in preaching about hell. But that is certainly not what the Lord Jesus did. You'll find that the Lord Jesus preached more about hell than anybody else. He proclaimed hell. He warned about hell. And if men and women are going down to that Christless eternity, that's what we need to do. Paul exhorted young Timothy when he was about to leave this scene of time. And in 2 Timothy 4:2 he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, the instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Joel Osteen says, we don't need doctrine. We don't need rebuke. We don't need reproof. But he is different from the Apostle Paul. His message is different then from the Apostle Paul. We think of what the prophet said about a genuine prophet. He said that a genuine prophet, he said this in Ezekiel 34, verses 2 and 3. What is a genuine prophet? He said, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do not feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. And there are many biblical themes that are unpopular today. Themes of condemnation. The message that we preach. And it might be unpopular to preach some of those themes there in the Bible. But we preach them anyway. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Now we've got to preach God's way. And we've got to preach God's message. So it is a message of putting man first. It's a message that is positive. And then it's a message that Joel Osteen preaches that deals with prosperity. Joel Osteen is one of that camp of the prosperity gospel or health and wealth gospel camp. Now Newsweek magazine did an article in May 2005. And the headline was, Meet the Prosperity Preacher. Now, Osteen outlines his beliefs about these things in his best-selling book, Your Best Life Now, which has sold 4 million copies. And this prosperity gospel has blazed to the front. There are others like Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart. They advocated this, but then when they got into scandal and things happened to them, it went sort of into abeyance. But it's now come again to the fore. What is this prosperity gospel? Well, the prosperity gospel is that God wants you to prosper materially. Now, very often it is marked by what they call giving seed money to the Lord. You'll have it in some of these charismatic television programs. And what they say is that you send us money, and this is seed money. And if you give your money to the Lord, then God will prosper you. God will prosper you. This is the prosperity gospel. Of course, these boys are bringing in millions of pounds and great amounts of money because people are sending in their money as this seed money. And Joel Osteen is a prosperity gospel preacher. Now, he was asked again about this on the Larry King show. And Larry King asked him what the prosperity gospel was. This is what he said, and I quote, "I think the prosperity gospel in general is, well, I don't know." This is what he kept saying. He kept saying during the interview, "I don't know." He says, "I hear it too, I don't know. I think what sometimes you see is it's just all about money. That's not what I believe. It's the attitude of your heart. And so, you know, I do believe this, that God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be able to send our kids to college, excel in our careers. But prosperity to me, Larry, is not just money, it's having health. What good is money if you don't have health?" Now, again, you see this positive spin. He's always putting the positive. He doesn't want to appear anything that will be negative. And he appears unsure there about what the prosperity gospel is. And he says it's not money to him. But let me quote you a letter that he wrote. And he says in the letter, "Sometimes it is hard for us to grasp that God wants us to prosper in every way. God wants us to prosper financially, to have plenty of money, to fulfill the destiny He has laid out for us. One of the most important biblical principles that shows us how to prosper is the principle of sowing and reaping." That's the seed money that we're talking about. Do you hear it? God wants us to prosper financially. God wants us to have plenty of money. Well, there are thousands of poor souls across this world who live in poor countries, who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they are not prospering financially. There are many of God's people who down the years have suffered for their faith, and they have even gone to death for the sake of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they haven't prospered financially. But this is the materialism of this day, and we have a material gospel. John MacArthur, in his book Charismatic Chaos, describes this sort of preaching, and he speaks about the cargo cults, and he says about the pagans in the jungle and everywhere. And he describes them as being cargo cults. In other words, the gods that these people think of are gods that can give them things. And he says the charismatics have brought the cargo cult god into Christianity. And this is what he said. "Virtually every false religion ever spawned by man worships a god whose function is to deliver some sort of cargo. Word faith theology has turned Christianity into a system no different from the lowest human religions. It's a kind of greed." You know, in the book of Jude, Jude warns about apostates who come and preach a religion of greed. And if you turn over to Jude verse 11, you'll read there about the apostates who come in. And he describes them like this. He says in verse 11 of the book of Jude, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward." What was the error of Balaam? Well, Balaam professed to be a prophet of God. He came with all the language of God. And he came with all the way of speaking of a prophet of God. But he did it for material benefit. He did it to get paid. Balak, the Moabite king, paid him to say the things that he did. And he came with a positive message. He preached the message that Balak wanted him to hear. And he did it to get money. And that's what Joel Osteen and the like of him today are also doing. Running greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. So it's putting man first. It's being positive. His message is a message of prosperity. But it's also a message, and this is the fourth characteristic, of a power in words. This is also called name it and claim it. In other words, what Osteen preaches is what many of the charismatics have preached down the years, is that you can get what you want from God by faith-filled or power-filled words. They believe that words have power, and if you say a thing out loud, it will come true. In effect, they believe that God doesn't really have the power to work until your words release Him to do. That there's a creative force in words. In other words, God's not the sovereign God that we believed Him to be, that He needs our words to release Him, to do the things that He needs to do. This is what Osteen says. I believe one of the main ways that we grow in favor is by declaring. It's not enough just to read it. It's not enough to just believe it. You've got to speak it out. Your words have creative power. One of the primary ways we release our faith is through our words. There's a divine connection between you declaring God's favor and seeing God's favor manifested in your life. And some of you are doing your best to please the Lord. You're living a holy, consecrated life. But you're not really experiencing God's supernatural favor. And it's simply because you're not declaring it. You've got to give life to your faith by speaking it out. Now I ask you this, where do you get that in the Bible? Where do you get that? Now we come to God in prayer. Prayer is different. You can speak your prayer out. Certainly you can. But we don't get where it says in the Bible that you've got to speak it out and that gives you power in the words that you speak. In fact, he goes further and he says, on the other hand, and this is what he says, I quote, you can cancel out God's best plans by speaking negative words. In other words, by saying something, you can stop God's plans. You can stop what God wants to do. Now, that's not the sovereign God I find in the Bible. I've no need to tell you, men, women, that this sort of thing is not in the Bible. This comes from the charismatic movement of today, with all its wonders and all its false ways of going. And because they have left aside the Bible, you find that the religion is not biblical at all in many ways. It's another gospel. It's another gospel. And that's why, men, women, we need to be careful about it. Now, if you were to go along to Joel Osteen's meeting on Tuesday, I heard of somebody that went along to it, and he likened him more to Billy Graham than to Benny Hinn. We had Benny Hinn last year, now we have Joel Osteen. It is quite likely that perhaps, I don't know what he's going to say, perhaps he'll tailor his message the way that he always has a positive message to meet the needs of Belfast. You might find that you hear nothing wrong if you went. But he comes with these messages, and behind it all there is this charismatic false worship. Just be positive. Don't let anybody hear something they don't want to hear. Or bring them by a false way. And we see, not only do we see his background and his beliefs, but we have his bad influence. Because that, men and women, is why I speak about these things at all. You know, there was a time poll taken in Time magazine in September last year, just a few months ago, and they found that 17% of Christians surveyed said that they were part of the prosperity gospel movement. So a full 61% believe that God wants people to be prosperous. And I know that God wants us to be happy, but prosperous in the sense that we're to take up our cross and follow Him. And 31%, a far higher percentage than the Pentecostals in America, agreed that if you give money to God, God will bless you with more money. Now, if we bring in the tithe into the storehouse, God will certainly bless us. But in the sense that they are speaking of, when you give your seed money to God and God is going to give you all this material wealth, certainly not. And Joel Osteen has brought in marketing techniques along with the seeker-sensitive kind of thing. They have Sunday schools like Disney World and cafes in their churches along the lines of Starbucks and all these sorts of things. And it's tailored for consumer wants. It's tailored to meet the needs of man. But true religion not only meets the needs of man, but true religion is religion that gives glory to God. God is first. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And men, women, we need to make sure that we always stay by the gospel that is preached in the Word of God. The Bible says, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" So many people are attracted by this preaching of prosperity, that God wants to give you riches and millions. And they look to these stars who are getting the millions, and it seems to be so true. But the Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Your soul is worth more than all the millions of this world. And if you're not saved today, you need Christ. You need the Savior. You need to come to Him and find eternal life. And what does the Lord say? What did Paul say in the book of Galatians here? He said, "Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed." Let him be accursed. We always need to be careful of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's the only gospel that truly saves. If you don't know Him, come to the Christ that the gospel proclaims and be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer.